Well, so we are in the middle of this somewhat complicated discussion of hamotzi and the obligation of separating challah, and I think we're in the Gemara. We're going to go. I don't know if we did yet. I don't think we did. We're going to start in the Gemara where we left off. We had done some stuff in between talking about the obligation of challah. So let me just. I don't remember if we got that far. I think we read the Mishnayos and challah, the couple of Mishnayos. And I just wanted to review sort of one salient point, even though we haven't really seen this yet, but I want you to know about it anyway, so because otherwise things can get really confusing. The Mishnah speaks about two kinds of doughs, Issa and Sufganim. Issa is a dough, what we would call a dough, and Sufganim is what we would call a batter. That is, at the beginning, that's how you form the dough. How you heat the dough, how you apply heat to it, can also be done in one of two fashions, either Issa or sufganim. Issa means you bake it in the oven dry, and sufganim means you fry it. It's tricky, but apparently it can be done. I was very puzzled. I mentioned this last week, how you fry a batter, because when it's liquidy, but apparently it can be done. it doesn't make, I was just told that, that by my son that he used this, they deep fried latkes, maybe? This past, where are we? It's past Hanukkah. They didn't come out exactly the shape of latkes. They came out differently shaped. But it can be done. So we talk about chilasa, isa, or sufganim. When you make the dough, is it really, is it isa, what we would call a dough, or sufganim? Call it, you know, what are the donuts? Even though donuts are probably, are donuts a batter or a dough? They're a dough. And sofa, or isa, or sufganim, is in the end, is it baked? Dry baked, and we mentioned that it's a machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, but we passed the Rabbi Yochanan that if you put it, it doesn't have to have direct exposure to the fire. If you put it in a pan, an ilfas, but you don't, and you don't have it's no oil in there, and most just to grease the pan, but nothing, no depth to the oil, then Rabbi Yochanan says that's called baking, and that's called sofa isa, and it would have the status of lechem, and Reish Lakish says it's not. And then the alternative is not sofa isa, but is sofa sufganim, is when you fry it in front of the green oil. So the Mishnah in Challah had said that chilasa sufganim, we did read the Mishnah, right?
I don't think so. We ended up with croutons and...
Okay, well, there's a lot of stuff that's going left for us. So let's reread the Mishnah. Fine, we'll read the Mishnah. If we read it, it's Chazara. The lesson of Vayako Pekude, by the way, is the importance of Chazara. Isa shetchilasa sufganim v'sofa sufganim b'tur melechala. If something starts out his life as sufganim, meaning as a batter, and it ends up not being baked, but rather being... Now, typically, we usually bake a in the source sheet. Yes. I don't know how many are floating around, but from last week. So the Mishnah says that if it starts out life as a batter and you fry it, is that the right one? I may not be the right one, Rabbi Feldman, and it's not. So if it starts out life as a batter and you fry it, so then it is exempt from challah. We're not talking in the Mishnah about hamotzi and brachos hamazon, but it would seem to be a given if it's not even chayiv and challah, it is not lechem. It doesn't even start to get the status of lechem, and therefore it cannot possibly won't be hamotzi or bench on it. Then the Mishnah says, it's a very short Mishnah anyway, so it's probably not a big deal. Tchilasa isa v'sofa sufganim. If it starts out life as a dough, but then you fry it like a donut. Or chilasa sufganim v'sofa isa, or if it begins life as a batter, but it winds up being an isa, and it winds up being an isa because what do? You take, like you would do with many batters, what do you do with a batter? You put it in the pan, in the oven, and it bakes. So given those two situations where either began life as an isa, even though it doesn't wind up being baked as dough, but rather fried, or if it winds up baked, even though it didn't start out life as a dough, both of those cases, chayav and b'challah. You'll have to separate challah. Now, if this were really true, then something like pasta would require challah separated from it. Why? Because pasta is a dough, You take a dough, you then extrude it, creates the shapes, and then if you were to make fresh pasta, you would toss it into boiling water, which is sufganim. So it's trilasa isa vasofa sufganim. It should be liable for challah. Now, presumably, the question would then be, of course, if it were liable for challah, don't worry. I'm not going to come out with a bad conclusion here on this one. Don't worry about it, okay? I know Lenny's looking at me, he's about to say you have to wash on pasta if you have it as your meal. No, I'm not going there. So the question then is there a linkage between if it's chayav and challah, and you have to make hamotzi and bench shalem? The answer is, in the end, going to be no. There will be things that might or might, it might not be chayav and challah either, but what the status of lechem for challah is somehow, whatever, there's a major debate in Rishonim I'm about to introduce to you, but the status of a dough slash batter for challah purposes is fundamentally determined at the time of Gilgul Ha'isa, when you make the dough, or let's even say the batter. That is normally the time by which it's determined. The definition, presumably, of lechem for hamotzi, and probably for all other purposes, for matzah, and birchas hamazon, is going to be, it's not going to be sufficient that it starts out life as a dough or with a certain intent. It probably has to wind up somewhere as well. So the Rishonim will talk about this question. Are they really dependent one upon another? Do we say that it's chayav and challah, it must have a motzi or birchas hamazon or not? And the answer fundamentally is going to be on some level no. Which is why pasta, we could talk about whether it's liable for challah, but it's certainly not going to be hamotzi or birchas hamazon, no matter how much you eat, because it's not pas. So the challah, you might say, is dependent upon dough, whereas hamotzi and birchas hamazon is dependent upon lechem. Now again, the Torah does say v'hayah ba'achalcham mi lechem ha'aretz karim musur al Hashem, but those two definitions are ultimately going to be not exactly the same. Yes,
so,
Larry.
So if you're making dough, mm-hmm. with the purpose of making challah, even if you, one person, let's say, made it a shear that would be chayav and challah, and they divided that up with three people.
Right.
So they would be chayav and
challah. Well, no, that's not. So Rabin, the question
you
is...
You said it's when you, at the time of making...
Yes, but
okay.
Intent may matter. So one of the things that Tosfos is going to quote on top of Lamed Chesem and Aleph is that there is a notion that if you make one big Isa with the intent of dividing it up, it doesn't necessarily have to be three people, but you're going to freeze one half, give one, freeze a quarter, give a quarter away, make a quarter now, I don't know what you're going to do with a quarter. So if your intent is to divide it up into portions that are not subject to challah, before the time of baking. Now, once you bake it, then it's done. And there are even ways, by the way, of combining things that were not a sufficient shear after you bake. If you put the bread on the table to cool and you put it on one tray, it's mitzarif l'chalak. You can combine the shear. But if you make one isa today l'chalka in order to divide it up, so then the Mishnah says it's not chayav and challah. Even though when you made it, it was a dough of requisite size. So what this idea is introduced in the sense that intent when you're making it could make a difference. Even though right now it's a dough, and right now it should be liable for the separation of challah, it might turn out later, provided that when you made that challah, your intent was for not to be something that's liable for challah, it might be exempt. So in this particular issue, and what we just read, this idea that if it's tchilasa isa v'sofa sufganim, so Rabbeinu Tam says, and I think he's described as that it might be pasta, he says, well, you see, it's chayav and challah. Because it's trilaso isa. So I don't care that sofa sufganim. I don't care that at the end you boil the pasta so you never bake it. According to anybody's definition, it's not baked, so it's not lechem. You still have to separate challah. The Ramban, however, and most of the Shonim disagree with Rabbeinu Tam. They think Rabbeinu Tam is wrong. They think that it depends upon intent. It's true. If I start out with the intention, I'm making challah for Shabbos, and I make a dough, I'm going to bake the bread. And I change my mind and say, you know what, I think I want pasta Friday afternoon. So now I take it, again, it's probably slightly different, it might be a different flour, it might be a different, mix. But I take my dough, and I now extrude it through the thing. And then I boil it. So Rabbeinu Tam would say, we would say it's chayav and challah. Because when I made the isa, my intent was to make it into bread ultimately. But if I make a pasta dough, knowing full well I have no intention of making this into bread, I intend to eat this as pasta, so then that's where the Ramban says it's exempt from challah. Because even though initially it was chilaso isa, its intent already at the time was to be Sofer Sofganim. When the Mishnah says Kilaso Isa v'Sof Sofganim, it means you made it Isa originally, and then you changed your mind and you made it into Sofganim at the end. But when you had made it Isa, your intent was to bake it. But if when you make it an Isa in the first place, you have no intention of baking it, then the Ramban says it's exempt from challah, and it's obviously not the bread. So ultimately, many, it turns out, our pasta, if it's made for pasta purposes, according to most Rishonim, I haven't checked how the Shulchan Aruch paskens, I don't think we pasken like Rabbi Tam. I would be surprised if we do. But according to most Rishonim, so if you make a dough as pasta dough, and you intend to eat it as pasta, and you do eat it as pasta, you don't somehow change your mind to bake it, not only is it not lechem, and you would not make hamotzi and bench, no matter how much you eat of it, it's also not chayiv and challah. Rabbi Feldman.
The status of, let's say, not an isa, cookie dough, or you know, some kind of other dough like that, where challah is not taken, but it's made into cookies, into sweet cookies. What is the status of those cookies?
Those are chayiv and challah.
Yeah, but what is the status of them, let's say after the fact? They're asur mi d'rabbanan, asur mi d'oraisa.
I mean, you're asking a general question about challah today is the rabbanan. Because you don't have, let's say, bias kolchem, devoachem el aretz. So it's only chayiv midrabbanan. Yeah. But we have a lot of kulas on challah of chutz laretz. If I'm not mistaken, the Gemara Bechora says that challah chutz laretz, you can eat everything and then separate it at the end. You just leave over a little piece. Something we don't even allow that in Eretz Yisrael, b'zman hazeh. I think it's only challah in chutz laretz because it's always d'rabbanan. So therefore, they should leave over half a cookie and, you know, burn it or something like that. I mean, minhag is to normally separate it at the outset, but...
Let's say there's a bakery where you know they don't separate challah from the cookies, but it's a Jewish-owned bakery.
Right.
Can you as a consumer separate challah from the cookies? Let's say you know that there's no other kosher problems with the bakery.
So the question, it's an interesting question.
There's a bakery on the Upper East Side that opened about a year ago, and people ask about it all the time. I spoke with the Hashgacha, and I spoke with the owner didn't want to talk to me, so with the Hashgacha.
I mean, the solution is it's a slightly annoying, but it's a simple solution. The question is, did they make enough in one batch? And it's probably yes, that it's chayiv and challah. In which case, if you bring home a bag of cookies, there is a concern, but probably the optimal thing, but it's really hard to do, is take a little piece of each cookie off and separate his challah. The reason I say that is
because... I don't recommend the bakery because even though it's,
So, but let's say you had a loaf of, a single loaf of bread. The answer is to take a little piece off the loaf and just designate it as challah. You can separate it even after it's lechem.
So what do you do, like Dunkin' Donuts?
That's not Jewish. They're not chayav challah.
The same that maybe in the Five Towns it is.
No? Okay. So I imagine in many places also when they have hashgacha, they also separate challah.
Yeah, most hashgachas make you separate challah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fine. Okay. Now, so that is the issue floating in the background. The question of when something is chayiv and challah, and the principle, again, these are the two positions. Rabbi Tam says if it starts out life as a dough, you have to separate challah, no matter what you plan to do, no what you plan at the outset to do with it. If it starts out life as a batter and remains a batter, which is probably pretty rare actually, then it would be pata from challah. But most Rishonim say that if it starts out life as a dough, but your intent is not to bake it, but rather to fry it, then, or boil it, as in the case of pasta, then there's no obligation in the first place of separating challah. Okay. So let's start with the Gemara. And the Gemara, I'm not going to try to do every position in the Mishonim here, because the Girsaos, the text of the Gemara itself, is under much dispute. The Gemara makes little corrections here, but there must be like seven different versions here exactly how you put the things together. So I'm going to read with what appears to be Rashi's reading, and Tosfos is not really going to disagree about the Girsa. It's not clear they disagree at all, but Rashi talks about some things, Tosfos talks about others. That's what I'm going to limit myself to, and I just try this to give you the underlying principles. Now, the way the sugya is going to work is it's going to start out talking about challah, and then it's going to shift when you get to the next page, it's going to shift to talking about birchas hamotzi. So the Gemara says the following. It is approximately, it is exactly 9 lines from the bottom, or maybe 10 lines from the bottom, but I'm going to read with the Gra's emendation here. The Gra just says, take out the words trokanim chaya b'chala and the vav, And you start with Ki Asa Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan. When Rava came from Eretz Yisrael, he brought a tradition in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that Trukanim Chayavin Minachala. That Trukanim, you have to separate Chalfam. On Lamed Zayin Amid Beis, near the bottom. Now, of course, everybody knows what Trukanim are, right? What are Trukanim? So the Gemara asks, my Trukanim. Okay, very nice, but what are they? So Amar Abaye, Kuva Da'ara. Rashi explains Kuva Da'ara means that you have a kira, which is kind of a stove, and there's a surface, and there's a little indentation, so it's like a griddle, and there's a little indentation, and you pour some batter in there, and it's basically being held in by that. I call it a shape or a mold, and that is liable for challah. You have to separate challah. Now, there are other versions, but we're going to stick with this. The reason, ostensibly, is that it starts out as a batter, it's being baked, and it's shaped also by whatever the shape of this, indentation in the kira is. Then, the Amar Abaye, Teresa Petur Menachala. Teresa is exempt from challah. And everybody, of course, knows what Teresa is, right? So the Gemara says, my Teresa. The answer is, Ika da Amri, Gvil Mirtach, V'ika da'amrei Nahama da'handaka, I'll translate in a second, V'ika da'amrei Lechem ha'asoy lekutach. And it seems that all three of these three definitions are accepted. These are three things that mean something is not going to be bread. So the first one is Gvil Mirtach. Just the words themselves, Gvil, means something that has been kneaded. Megabel means to knead. Let's often use with in Isa or a tit with mud. To be gibul is the process of kneading. So gvil means something that has been kneaded, mirtach, that has been boiled. So Rashi explains, if you look at Rashi, the four lines from the bottom of Rashi, the end of the line, gvil mirtach, he says, Nosfin kamach umayim bechli, ubocha shim bekaf. You put water and flour in a vessel, and you stir it up. So basically, you get a batter. Vishov chimala kira kishihini sekas. You pour it on the kira, while it's being fired up. And in that case, there's no shape to it, but the batter very quickly turns solid, and you get some type, I'll call it a pancake not made in a mold. So gvil mirtach is one definition of something that is exempt from challah, which means presumably it is not lechem at all. The sek ikadami is nahama dehandaka. Rashi says, the second line from the bottom, Batzek she'ofin b'shipud, it's a dough that you roast on a spit, that you bake on a spit, u'moshchen oso tamid b'shemen o mebeitzim, and that vav has to change, probably shuman. B'shuman. In other words, it's a piece of dough, but it is like being heavily basted with some type of liquid, especially fat or oil. So that's what Rashi says. So apparently, that's not called bread. And finally, lechem ha'osei lekut, lechem asrei lekutach, Rashi writes the last line, ein ofen oso betanur ela bechama. It's not baked in the oven, it's baked in the sun. And because it's baked in the sun, it doesn't have shein lachem. It has to be baked in an oven. The debate between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan about maase ilfas, about the empty frying pan that you stick a dough in and you put the heat on the fire on the other side, there's fire involved. It's just that the fire is not directly in contact with the bread as it would be in a regular oven. But here, it's not being baked in an oven at all. It's being baked in the sun. So, if you've learned Hilchos Shabbos, that bishul is prohibited midoraisa only when it is on the fire or toldos ha'or. Meaning directly in something that's on the fire, it doesn't have to be there. It could be in a pot. Or if something that was heated by fire, even though the fire is no longer there. When it comes to chama and toldos chama, something heated in the sun, or by something that's cooked, that was heated up by the sun. For example, if you want to fry an egg on Shabbos on asphalt. So toldos chama, cooking in toldos chama is prohibited rabbinically. It's also midrabbanan. Cooking directly in the sun is permitted even midrabbanan. Which I may have mentioned to you, led to my fascinating, the only time I think I ever showed Rosh Hechter a YouTube video of using a Fresnel lens, which are in the old televisions, the old CRT televisions, and you stick it in a 2x4 frame and you orient it towards the sun. They put in the things. And when you get the sun's rays coming through the right angle, it can melt a penny, like, in seconds, and boil water in a pan and a pot in seconds. So I asked him, I said, is this Mutar on Shabbos? He said, yeah. Because it's cooking directly in the Chama. It has to be directly in the sun, meaning the light going through doesn't matter. I'm not recommending you do that, by the way. But technically speaking, it's not, you know, the cooking Bishul B'Chama is mutter on Shabbos. It's mutter, it's probably assumed to be mutter because it wasn't normal to do so. That's an interesting question. I think it's still not normal to cook that way in the sun. But there are other situations where, well, if something became normal, that would be an interesting question. But be that as it may, for them, cooking in the sun was not a normal thing. Lechem asay lekutach, bread. And then what was done with this bread? What was done with the dough? So Rashi, and maybe he says on the top, he'll explain more. In the, no, he doesn't explain. The other Rishonim explain. Kutach is this, like, yogurt sourdough. And someone would call it spoiled, but I guess that kind of is a little bit what yogurt is. And they would put pieces of bread in it, and that's what they would do with this bread. It was kind of crumbled up. That's why when you learn the Mishnayos of Sachem, they talk that the third perek it talks about all these substances that are either a mixture of chametz or partial chametz, either chametz dagim gavur betaroves, real chametz in a mixture, or chametz that was partially chametz but never finished the process of leavening, chametz nuksha. And one of the first things is kutach habavli. It was a Babylonian kutach. They used to put bread in this, and it's, again, it's like some type of a milk yogurt thing, and they would put pieces of bread in it. It was used primarily as a dip. So that bread, lechem asay lekutach, is not considered lechem. So that's what the Gemara says in terms of the obligation of challah. Now the Gemara adds one more bit more detail, which is Rabbi Yehuda Satanya. So the Gemara asks a question, three lines from the bottom. I'm sorry, Tani Rabbi Chia, first four lines from the bottom. Lechem asay lekutach es pater min achala, as one of the three interpretations of Abaye on Teresa was. That Teresa is lechem asay lekutach, the third interpretation, and according to Abaye, it's exempt from challah. According to Rabbi Yochanan, according to Abaye, it's exempt from challah, and one of the definitions is this, and that's the Braisa. Rabbi Chia states, lechem asay lekutach, that kind of bread is patur min achala. So the Gemara asks, Hatanya, we have a Braisa that says chayav b'challah. The answer is hasam ki that tani taima. Rabbi Yehuda omer ma'asem ochichan ala. Rabbi Yehuda says it depends how you make it. Asa either ka'ovin or ka'achin, chayovin. Kilimudim peturim. So Rashi says ka'achim is if you arrange it. He writes the top Rashi arucha u'mekutefes. It is arranged and cut kigluska osnos, like nice little cakes or cookies. Gali dainte de lechem asa. It's made for bread purposes. Kalimudim is kinesaren bi'alma. It's just like sheets. He just lays it out, and therefore it's not really, it's not bread. And what Rashi doesn't explain, I mean, there are two things about lechem asay lekutach that make it unusual. Number one is that you're not, according to Rashi, you're not baking in the sun. Number two, it's being mixed into this dip. So the question is, when the Gemara distinguishes between two shapes, one which was just like, let me just, you know, put it out there, and one where you shape it carefully, so is there a difference on how you bake it? Or is they both baked in the sun, but one is just baked in haphazard fashion, and one of them is baked by making nice little things? In which case, if that's really what Rashi means, and he doesn't say, then it means that baking it in the sun is not really the salient issue. Baking in the sun, at best, is a siman, not a siba. That when you bake in the sun, typically it's because you're baking lechem asay lekutach. Or does Rashi mean that when you make this lechem asay lekutach in the first place, it's not clear exactly what's going to be done with it? And depending on how you shape it initially, tells you what your intent was originally. And it doesn't matter what you do in the end. Because it could be you take these nicely shaped pieces of dough and you say, forget it. I'll just use it for kutach. So you bake it in the sun. But because when you initially made the dough, your intent was to bake it as bread, even though you don't in the end, it's chayev in challah. It may not be lechem, because ultimately it's baked in the sun, but it is chayev in challah. Whereas, if you made it in the first place as a just haphazard shape, so then there's no obligation of separating challah, because it was never intended to be lechem in the first place, even though it's starting out life in something that could wind up for dual use. All right. So now we're not done yet. So in the previous section, the Gemara had said that kuva da'ara is obligated in challah. Now that the kuva da'ara is the stuff that you pour into the depression in the kira, so it kind of serves like a mold. Now that's not the way I guess people usually made bread. That would seem to be the premise of the next statement. On the first line, on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, Omer le Abaye le Rabbi Yosef, Hai kuva da'ara, mai mevarchen ilave. What bracha do you make on it? So now we're not talking about challah anymore. We're talking about brachas. So Omer le, Rabbi Yosef says to Abaye, Mi savris nahamahu? Do you think that it's actually bread? Guvla ba'almahu. It's like some batter. Nobody makes bread out of this, typically. Umevarchen ilave, bori mine mizonos. So you make mizonos. But here, so basically it is, even though the Gemara doesn't use the term, it's what we call pas haba b'kisnin. This thing that's not bread, even though it technically should be bread because it's water and flour are its main ingredients, but there's something that makes it not bread. Now, what makes it not bread? So, this is what's interesting. I don't know that the Shulchan Aruch talks about this, but it'll be, I may be disappointing some people because I'm almost ready to change my mind about pizza.
Away from how much you like
them. No, the other way. No matter what you have, there are the Rav Willig and Rav Schechter hold. No matter what you hold that you have to make Mahamotzi and bench. The reason I understand their shita is that pizza they claim is fundamentally meal food. Now, let me explain why I've come to think more and more. This Gemara in particular seems to... The Shulchan Aruch is going to say, we've discussed it, it's on the handout, we will read it again. The Shulchan Aruch is going to say that there are three definitions of what makes a pasta babakistan. But all of those things, in other words, either it's stuffed, so think... I don't want to say a calzone, I can't imagine anybody... I mean, I guess if you only had... Or pizza, which it's kind of stuffed. I mean, you have to fold it over, so it's stuffed. A bereka. Or something that is sweet, it has sweet stuff mixed into it, or it's cracker in texture. So the Shulchan Aruch is going to accept all three of those. It's a question whether all three of those are definitely pasah babakistan.
So we're talking donut.
Donut would be in the middle category. The first category would be...
Well,
that's right. Let's do the donut. If a donut were baked. Let's say cake. Cake, a regular cake, a bakery cake. You go to Butterflake, you buy a cake, you decide you're going to make your meal out of that, right? So if it's just dessert or something else, it's a mizonos. But if it's but that's because it's pasah babakistan, because it's baked. And crackers would be the third category. Those would be the three categories.
For example, if you're traveling somewhere and there's no food,
right?
And you buy an entrance cake,
right?
Which becomes your meal.
Then you have to wash the veg on it. Yes. Yes, unless the cake were fried, which I'm pretty sure the cake is not fried. The donuts are fried, but the cake is not. So the cake is trilaso, probably sufganim, but sofo isa. So, and if it's sofo isa, then it's really bread.
Okay. So the donuts you can have.
Donuts you can
have 3 boxes of donuts.
The cardiologist speaking here, yes. So you can have 3 boxes of donuts. And you just make mizonos and I'll miss you. Then you keel over and talk dead, but okay, that's fine. All right. So the question is, what is it about those three? Is it magic? Is it because, I had a couple of Sephardi students. Well, one of them was, this is way back in the day. I think David is on. I think they were roughly around his time, maybe a year or two later than him. But one of them was all Sephardi. He was all Sir in both sides, really a proud Sephardi. The other one was half and half. And he had mixed feelings about it. So they were always chepering each other. But the one who was like all Sephardi, he was so proud, like bagels, he had sesame seeds on him. Pass up on a kitchen. You don't wash a bench. Okay, that I don't even think that fits the machaber. But
anything else would change what it is because whether it's sweet or
right, right. In other words, in the Shulchan Aruch, we'll see that the machaber says that if you were to put like something in it that would make the dough a little bit sweet, just a little bit. Mechaber says it's pas habakistan. Rama says that's not pas habakistan. That's pas. That's why Sfaradim will treat our egg challah as pas habakistan, whereas Ashkenazim say, what are you talking about? That's pas. So,
what about bread that's been boiled?
I'll give you the short answer now, and it's the long answer later. It's in the Shulchan Aruch. It's bread. The Mechaber says, if you have the sheet, Isaac, the Mechaber writes explicitly Sifyu Dalet, it's on the back side of the sheet. Cholut she'achar kachafo b'tanur pas gomerhu mevarach ala amarzi. The end. Okay, I don't think anybody really argues with that. So bagels, which are start out as a dough, are boiled first and then baked, are regular pas. Again, presuming, like, certainly the Mechaber would say for sure, here, you know, it's not going to limit that a cinnamon raisin bagel is pas of other kisnin, like, for sure. I don't know if the Mechaber, I don't think, I'm not sure the Ramal would say that. I don't think that's quite sweet enough.
Really?
Yeah, because cinnamon basil is a sweet bagel, right? It's not like a cake, you know. You know, it's like I noticed in the last few years, it became in vogue to make chocolate chip challah, which slowly starts to bleed into a babka. I don't know exactly where the line between those two is, but for Sfardim, as soon as you put in the chocolate chips, it's pasa baba kistin, undoubtedly to Sfardim. For Ashkenazim, the question is going to be how many chocolate chips you put in. You know, when does it make the transition from challah to babka? I don't know. Okay.
Right.
So. Solution is make sure you have some regular challah so you make hamotzi on that. Okay, once we reach the suffix threshold. All right, so the question is, what do those three types of pasa baba kistin really represent? And when you go back to the Gemara, the pasa baba kistin are the things that typically were dessert foods. People did not use those foods. The way they typically ate is they had bread and they had side dishes with the bread, and the bread was the primary thing in the meal. So pasa baba kistin is not something that you would use for that. Right? You can't really imagine taking, and here the Ashkenazim, I think, would win. You can imagine taking your regular challah and having it with hummus and baba ganoush and whatever the third, the trama, and tchina, and so on. You can imagine that. Right? It's hard to imagine taking an Entenmann's donut and doing that. Right? It's hard to imagine putting, you know, some type of, you know, olive dish, you know, ground up olives or whatever they call that on. It's hard to imagine doing that. That's, you understand, a donut stand and cake, you know, a bakery cake stand on one side, and you understand bread on the other. What makes the crackers?
Of those intermediate things, like you wouldn't put a chocolate chip challah.
Correct. But let's say crackers.
Right.
Let's say crackers. So when you look at the reason why they say crackers, we'll see crackers are possible. But because people wouldn't really use that as lechem for meal. Right? We might. And again, I don't know what exactly the nature of those crackers were. Because I don't know.
Fundamentally, most of those things you consider like a snack or an appetizer.
Well, yeah, the way it's described by even the Shavuot Shulchan Aruch is that a cracker is kosher. It's like the chewing wheat. Yeah, point is it's a snack.
No different than a sticking potato chip or a taco chip
right.
Avocado.
So it's fundamentally a food that is used as snack. It's not just the way you're eating it, but that's what the nature of the food is. When you look at Gvil Mirtach, right, and I believe what I've heard. I never asked a shechter directly. People told me. Here I will say that pizza is meal food by its definition. Now we could maybe there's a little room to debate that, but I think for most people it's kind of meal food. But let's say you're having it as a snack, right? You take a single piece of pizza, and that pizza is it's folded over and it's stuffed. It's a memula that way. It's the language of the Shulchan. It's filled. So, but their argument is that certain foods at the outset are by definition bread or not bread. Now, Rav Yosef answers Abaye here. Abaye asked him, "What's the bracha?" So he said, "Do you think it's bread? It's gufo bi'almahu umavarcha lebrei mizonos." The Gemara is going to present what I think is a dissenting opinion, but Rav Yochanan says basically it's not really bread. So if you were to, you know, you imagine, you look at a cake, you don't think of that as bread. It technically could be, because it fits, it was baked. But when you look at pizza and a pizza dough and the nature of what pizza is, there's an argument to be made. This is not, again, it is a machlokas acharonim, I believe. But there's an argument to be made why, once it becomes something that is sort of really food that's for meal, it doesn't matter if you're having it as a snack. You could have bread as a snack also. It doesn't have to be a meal, but it no longer, there's a category of food that simply becomes meal food, and it doesn't really matter if you choose to have it as a snack, whereas some foods really exist, you know, in the in-between, which are really, they're really snacks, and then you choose to make it into a meal, and that's the din of being koveas suda and pasav abakistan. So in the next line, and it's hard to tell, but I think that this is a debate, I think they're not accepting Rabbi Yosef's necessarily his definition, marzutra kava sudasa ilave, it's the fifth line, so he koveh a suda on it, and he washed, so he made a motzi, and he benched. So it's the question is, how is he working with in terms of Rabbi Yosef? Does he disagree?
Only if he is Koveya Suda, or if I always...
No, only if he's Koveya Suda. Yeah. Right, so it might, it could be he's working with Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef is Guvla Balma. So now Rabbi Yosef said, fine, it's Guvla Balma. If I'm making a meal out of it, I'm choosing to do that, then, in other words, Abaye thought maybe it's bread. And Rabbi Yosef says, are you out of your mind? That's not really bread. I mean, technically speaking, it's flour and water that's baked. But it's not really bread, so of course you may make mazonos on it. Which really means it's pasaba. But Rav Sutra comes and says, yes, it's not really bread, it's pasaba bekisner. So normally people, it's just a little guvla balma. It almost sounds like, by the way, it's the volume more than the quantity or the quality of it. Just how much is, oh, you had a little, it's like imagine you had a little piece of, you know, bread, you know, that broke off in the oven. Not, we would say that's bread, but it, that's this kind of thing. It's a little bit that, I don't know, you poured it into the thing. So to grab a quick snack. That's its very nature. And Rav Sutra just says, yes, but if you choose to make Vilmirtach, if you choose to make Teresa into a meal, so then that's the way, then the Pasav Abakistan with your Kovei Suda on it, and therefore you're obligated to wash and bench. But if not, what makes it Pasav Abakistan? That it's Guvla B'Alma, it's just a little bit of stuff. So in other words, what here in particular, what I'm struck by is that the materials, the raw materials itself, are straight up bread. And yet Rabbi Yosef is classifying it, let's assume, as pasta bakistan, precisely because even though it's the right ingredients, this is not, people just have this as like a little nosh. So if you take a food that fundamentally is the opposite direction, it might not just be the straight ingredients of water and flour, because you bake a pizza with the cheese on it, or whatever else you bake on, whatever your preference in pizza is. But if, by definition, that's what people normally eat that as a meal, then it's hard to imagine saying that just because you chose not to, therefore it is not considered, therefore it's not pas. That's what, again, it's not explicit, and it is machlokes sachronim, but the Gemara here, this idea that Rabbi Yosef says, it's just guvla balma, it's just the dough. I mean, that's what something that you needed. It's like, that's what all bread is. That's what all, and nonetheless, but it's on those grounds that Rabbi Yosef is saying this is pasav abakistan. It's not regular pas. So again, you could say it's only true in one direction. It's not true in the opposite direction, but I'm not so sure. Okay.
So it almost seems all right. The tension is a doraisa.
Yeah.
So why is it that you would make a mazonos and then half the bench?
So, well, for starters, ala mechia might satisfy the doraisa requirement for benching. Because Ala Mechia has all three themes of Birchas Hamazon and Doraisa, the food, Eretz Yisrael, and the Yerushalayim. So, something to be spoken about. We'll have to talk, but we'll eventually talk about the nature of that bracha achrona. So the Shulchan Aruch says in that case that you would just bench afterwards, but the Mishnah Berurah says it depends. If the amount of bread that you're going to eat that's remaining, the amount of entomins cake that's remaining, would in itself still be enough to be kriya suda, then he says you would stop, then wash and bench. You would wash and make hamotzi.
If
there were enough left
that you were going to eat,
that in itself would be kriya suda. Let's say normal people.
It's a question, right? So you start.
Correct. You start assuming you don't have to automatically wash on pizza. You start with one piece, and you decide that you're going to have more. So if your shear, if the shear that we decide, let's make it up, and some people suggested two slices of pizza is a meal, and you had one piece intention of just having one piece, so you didn't wash, you made a mazonos. Now you decide you're going to have more, so the Mishnah Berurah would say that if you decide that you're going to make a three-piece meal total, you're going to have two more pieces you're going to eat, then you have to wash and make hamotzi now. If you're going to have less than two pieces, you continue eating on the basis of your original bracha, but you bench afterwards. That the Shulchan Aruch doesn't make that distinction explicitly. The Shulchan Aruch just says that if you ended up being Koveya Suda when you didn't intend originally, then you just bench afterwards, and the Mishnah Berurah introduces that distinction.
Makes sense.
Okay, yeah, that seems eminently reasonable. Okay.
It's not a bracha levatala because your original mazonos.
Right. I don't think it's. I think that in a certain sense, with Mishnah Berurah, he doesn't spell it out. But you know, what has happened in a sense is that once you decide from this point on, you're going to have two slices. Basically, the pizza in front is transformed in front of your eyes from pasta baba kistin into an effectively pasta.
Beautiful.
A mussar?
Okay.
What is the mussar in there?
I'm not sure. But yeah, that's that.
So
but
then you wash, you make a motzi in the bench.
Yes.
Well, that's a bad combination.
What's that? You would not say I'll pay you bench. Now, that's clear. Even if you didn't have two more slices, you just had two in total, you would bench instead of alamechia. Yes. Okay. Now, let's look at the Tosfos.
You're saying Jews want to avoid washing and benching and being halachic. It just seems so much simpler just to avoid the whole problem and then wash. And
yeah, I don't, you know, we have
like
strange...
Like a wedding.
We have strange...
Like a wedding.
They wash and bench regardless of whatever the food is. They wash a piece of bread, and that way they bench every lunch.
Well, that's good. That's good for other reasons.
Yeah.
So, yes, we you know, I understand more not wanting to get fleshik than not to wash and bench. You know, washing and benching, so it's an opportunity to make brachos, to thank God. It's a beautiful, beautiful brachos.
It doesn't take so long.
Yes, and it doesn't take so long. And we could all use to take, most of us could take a little longer than we often do. Whereas, okay, I understand you don't want to get fleshik. I mean, even though it's sort of like, we jokingly say that's typical of Jews, we're always talking at one meal what we can eat at the next meal. Right, so have your enjoy your meat, and you know you'll eventually have dairy, or be born as a yekker or something like that.
Dutch
even better. Yes. Okay, so now I wanted to just take a look at the last thing. Well, before we go to the Shulchan Aruch, which won't be today, I want to try to read the bottom Tosfos. It's a hard Tosfos, and part of what makes it difficult, but not the only thing, is that he talks about lots of different substances, which I don't know what they exactly are. We could kind of guess what they are. Some of them are almost definitely some kind of pasta, but not to be confused with the term that you'll find in Shulchan Aruch and the Rishonim called pashtida, which is really a dough and with meat in it. It comes up in your day, and it comes up on Shabbos. I think it's a good Shabbos food because the meat was sandwiched between two layers of dough, so it's like the mun. So it's called pashtida, which I assume, I don't know what the word pasta means. I assume there's a what the word means. I assume there's a relationship between those two words. But the difference for us is that our pasta does start as a dough, but we don't usually. I mean, we do make flavored pastas. That's still part of the dough, and then we extrude it, and then we normally what they do is they flash dry it, I think, and then you boil it to hydrate it and cook it. But if you make fresh pasta, you would extrude it, and then you would toss it into boiling water. And if I might joke, when the Mashiach comes and we are illuminated, we are deeply, deeply all experts in all aspects of halacha, the good news is that we will be able to have pasta on Pesach. And some of you are going to look at me like I'm out of my mind. I see some of the quizzical looks. Rabbi Lookstein is half smiling. Well, the answer is that the truth is, and I believe I heard one of my senior colleagues has said, when you have pasta that you buy, you don't need to sell it before Pesach. You obviously can't eat it. The reason you can't eat it, forgetting even if it had been prepared properly, the reason you can't have pasta is there are two ways to arrest leavening. One way is to bake a dough, which we do all the time. That's how we have matzah on Pesach. Otherwise, matzah would be prohibited. The second way of arresting the leavening process is to take your dough and toss it into boiling water. It's called chalita. And chalita, the Gemara talks about doing it. It's permissible, but the Gaonim had a stringency, had a chumrah. They did not permit chalita because they were not sufficiently expert in chalita, and therefore it might become chametz before, it might rise before it actually gets boiled and kills the gluten. What's that? Because it's all look. The reality is that if you made a pasta dough, you were working that dough, you extruded it, tossed it, boiling the water. It's not likely it's going to become chametz, but we don't do it because of this chumrah. But if it weren't for this chumrah of chalita, you could have fresh pasta on Pesach. You don't let the dough rise, you know, and you don't. There's no yeast in it. If you look at the ingredients, it's just semolina flour and water basically. So you would just make your pasta dough, extrude it, toss it into the boiling water. Don't let 18 minutes go by, and you draw your fresh pasta and maybe kidney or stew at that time when the Mashiach comes. So think about it. It will turn out that on Pesach we won't eat chametz. Amazing. Anyway, so I think that some of the things Tosfos is actually talking about. Yes, Ram. You're not. I want to make it. Let me just make this very clear record. We do not allow eating pasta on Pesach. Period. Full stop. All right. Yes, Ram. Okay, go ahead.
Not yet.
Mehira Yibana Beis Hamikdash. The Mashiach will come. I'm sorry. What was? Okay. Okay. So. Okay, that makes sense. Right, it's still the same thing. You have a dough and you have kind of a stuffing, but with a quiche, you generally don't cover it on top, but not, you know. So yes, it is very similar. So I just don't know. I assume the word pasta is related to it, but I don't know for sure.
You wouldn't need to sell pasta?
I saw what I heard one of my senior colleagues said. I would say you don't need to sell pasta. Yeah, it's not actually hummus. So you can't. They in the factory they create the dough. It's instantly dried. And that's the way what's that?
Cereal.
It probably most cereal is not actual hummus either. Yeah, that's correct. There is, you know, crackers are, you know, if you talk about stuff, we live in a very strange world. When you think about Pesach, they didn't used to have to deal with some of these issues of hummus. You know, why did we come up with the hetemechi, right? Originally it comes up with the saloons because in a pre-modern world, generally speaking, you can't make hummus that lasts very long, right? It spoils, it turns moldy, it gets stale. So it's not like people once upon a time had all this hummus and Pesach was approaching. In any given moment in the year, if you have hummus, the odds are that hummus would be finished within a day or two. What you're searching for in Pesach are the crumbs. Because of modern food production and modern food storage and the ability to preserve things, that's why we have all these questions. That's why it came up first by whiskey, because those are things that do stay for a long time. But that was the rare thing. Bread didn't. Our matzah, I'm curious, I don't know if anybody knows, but even when you read the Shulchan Aruch on the Siman, you read the Mishnah Berurah, it doesn't sound like they weren't using hard matzahs. They were using soft matzahs 100 years, you know, in Europe. I don't know when, you know, Manischewitz first starts manufacturing the hard matzahs, and this becomes the norm of matzah, but it's very, very recent. So if you think about it, if you make soft matzah, if you buy soft matzah, we use soft matzah, but you have to stick it in, you keep it in the freezer until you're ready to eat it, and then you have to warm it up in the oven. Because if you didn't put it in the freezer,
half hour later you can eat it. So, it gets so hard.
I know of soft that matzahs, like the Temani matzahs, which are a little different than the Syrian matzahs. The Temani matzahs don't get so hard so fast. They're much thinner. We normally use the Syrians. I once had a student of mine, he's Temani, half Temani, and he brought me one year, he gave me a piece of that. So that was a much, much thinner, and that you didn't put in the freezer. But the bottom line is, it might last a few days, the bread, but it's not going to last a week or two. So we live in that sense, a totally different reality. The idea that you have pasta, you're asking that question is only because we do what we do to it, and it lasts a very, very long time. So... Okay, so Tosfos, on the bottom of Lama Zayin Amadeus, so quoting, he's on the earlier line in the Gemara, when I buy the Braisa, Rabbi Chia, Lechem ha'ase l'kutach patah menachala, v'haynu kisha'asa'o kelimudim. That's what the Gemara eventually says on the top of Lama Chesam and Aleph, that Lechem ha'ase l'kutach is exempt when you make it in a haphazard shape. Upirish Rashi, Isa shemiyabshin bechama, a dough that you, Tosfos says you dry, but Rashi says you bake in the sun. Vikasha, Tosfos is bothered by this question. How can a dough that you bake in the sun be exempt from challah? It's difficult. D'harmina b'meseches challah, we just read this. Kol shetchilaso isa v'sofa sufganim chayev bechala. V'chol shetchilaso sufganim v'sofa isa chayev enami bechala. And only v'shetchilaso sufganim v'sofa nami sufganim patur min hachalah. Right? This was our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said that if it either starts out life as a dough or it's baked in the end, you have to separate challah. Our Mishnah said the only way it's exempt from challah if it starts out life as a batter and it's never baked. Instead, it's, let's say, fried, or it would be baked in the sun or something like that. So Tosos, assuming that intent doesn't matter, that all that matters is that you made it as a dough, and that's enough, this is Rabbeinu Tam's position, so how can Rashi say, or how can Rashi be correct when he says, if you have a dough that you bake in the sun, it's exempt from challah? Because that is definitionally tchila. So isa, it began as a dough. So therefore, upasak Rabbeinu Tam, im kein, benivlish and varshulish, the tchila san isa, I don't know exactly, I don't know if they're pasta or not, they might be. The tchilaso is
a little low azim at the bottom of our Gemara saying rimshish. pasta.
Okay. Well, Rimshish is later.
It doesn't have this one.
Yeah. What do I? Right. All right. So it's very soft, but I don't know what it means to be baked on the iron, because that would be baking. So Rabbeinu Tam says that these two things, the tchilas on isa, right? It starts out as a dough. Mevarchin aleim hamotzi v'chayavim bechala apal pi de sofan sufganim. You don't bake them in the end. Rabbeinu Tam said. That not only is it chayv and chala, you also have to make hamotzi on it. Because the novel point here is, mitchila hayerotzalam Rabbeinu Tam, the davka chayav and bechala, the mitzvah chala b'odanisa. Originally, Rabbeinu Tam wanted to say no hamotzi, but he changed his mind. Originally, he wanted to say it's just liable for separation of chala, because chala is when it's a dough. Dechsiv ariso sechem. The whole shahayu mitchila isa, since they were originally in isa, chayav and bechala. Avo ben hamotzi peturim da'achshav heim sufganim. In other words, Rabbeinu Tam originally wanted to say that they were exempt, because now they weren't actually baked. And then he writes, either v'li nera or v'lo nera, da'lahola el katani netalim la'achlam mevarech aleim hamotzi gabe mincha afal pi da'achshav heim sufganim shamanachos mituganos b'shemen. So this is a very difficult line here. The argument was, we saw earlier on the page, last week or the previous week, that when you take the karban mincha and then you bake it in oil, that you fry it in oil, that you make hamotzi on it, even though it is metugan b'shem and it's fried in oil. So you see that you make hamotzi anyway. Now, what's difficult about that position, and it's the way I understand things, is that all of those menachos had some stage of baking in them. In other words, I always thought that even the, maybe I'm wrong, but the argument is that the Mincha L'Machavas, it's this week's parsha, by the way. Okay, correct the Balkriya if he gets it wrong. Minchas Marcheshes and Mincha L'Machavas, that those have no baking process whatsoever, they're only in oil, and therefore, nonetheless, the Bryson says earlier that when you take them to eat them, you make hamotzi, provided that you make hamotzi on it. So that's his argument that Rabbeinu Tam made, that it must be that it seems that the challah and the hamotzi always go together, which is not going to hold up by other things. So going to the next part, next week we will, God willing, go through the Shulchan Aruch. So we'll try to sort of summarize things. But Vimshish, which Rabbi Feldman says, according to the note in his Gemara, is pasta. Afal gav b'chayav and b'chala shahayu isa mitchila p'tur mei hamotzi v'en mevarachem aleim elaborim min amizonos the less lay turisa than ahama. His argument that doesn't have the form of bread at all. Well, it doesn't have the form of bread because it's sofa sufganim. It's because you boil it in the end. I mean, I guess it does. Achar kach. So therefore, you even though it's chayv and chala, even though the pasta dough is chayv and chala, you make mizonos and you always make an al-mechia, v'achar kach birchas mein shalosh al-mechia al-kalkala. However, Rabbeinu Yechiel hayu mesupak im verm shesh chayv and mechala, mishum ditznan ha'ose isaso batze kidei l'chalka p'tur min achala v'les b'hushura. If you make one big dough, but your intent is to split it up before you bake it into smaller doughs, where each smaller dough is going to be less than the requisite amount that requires the separation of challah, so then you don't. There's no obligation to separate challah. And he says, "Hacha gabe v'rim sheshnami pa'amim mechalkim she mesimin shir chalak b'der achas." You don't always, when you cook it, you don't always make an amount that would be liable for challah. So therefore, achayematzuch lika challah below bracha b'shvil hasafek. He was machmir that you should take a little bit of challah because we're not sure from the pasta dough. Okay. The whole davar, Tosis continues, shetchilaso sufganim v'sofo isa chayav mechala. Even if it starts out light as a batter, if it winds up being baked, if it winds up as an isa, but that means being baked in the oven, it's chayav mechala uvamotzi. The kaimalan Rabbi Yochanan perakol shah, the pligi Rabbi Yochanan v'eshlakish b'maseh ilfis. Rabbi Yochanan, and I mentioned this, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish have an argument about Masa Ilfis. Now, a batter is always going to be Masa Ilfis, because when you, a batter, by definition, has to be contained within a kli, and you have a fire underneath it. So the fire is not going to be directly cooking the batter, normally. That's a machlokas Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan, whether or not a batter cooked by the Ilfis, as opposed to by the fire, is subject to, is it lechem or not? So Tosa says that Rabbi Yochanan paskins that it's chayiv, that it's lechem, and it's subject to all the rules. It's chayiv and challah, and you make hamotzi on it. And Tosis explains upligi, the fourth narrow line, upligi biblilaso raka. They're talking about a batter. Dehainu tchilaso sufgana v'sofo isa im nefa v'taner o bekira o beilchas below mayim v'shemen. They argue when you cook this thing, this batter, without water or oil, any other kind of thing. You cook it, in effect, dry, although the batter is wet. The Reish Lakish Sviva Le'dalo HaVechayev Elokishe Nefe V'tanur. Rabbi Reish Lakish says it has to be baked in the oven. De'ahakoy Masnisan Tchilasa Sufgan V'Sofo Isa. That's what Reish Lakish understands. When the Mishnah says something that begins its life as Sufganim, as a batter, and winds its life as Isa, as bread, as a dough, means you bake it in an oven specifically. Aval Be'ilfas Pater, in a pan, which has been heated, but not directly in by the fire of the oven, is patev. Rabbi Yochanan mechayev the masa ilfas sofa isa kwinabe. Rabbi Yochanan believes that in a pan it's considered an isa rach shalu yo yehu mashkim be ilfas, as long as there's no liquids, as long as it's not being fried or cooked in the pot. And he goes to quote the Yerushalmi kol sha or tachtav chayev bechala umavarchen alav hamotzi. Okay, so that is considered standard bread. Aval Tosa says, and again, I don't know what this is. Anilish, ein mevarchen alav hamotzi de lohave ela guvla ba'alma. It's like the Gemara's kuva here. It's some type of a bread which was just meant to nashon, and therefore it's not considered bread, and you don't make hamotzi on it. Umiu im kava sudaso alayu kemo bepurim. So here's a little bit of a hint if you're trying to find out what it is. Apparently, this is popular in Purim. I don't want to say it's a hamantash, but it was something they used to eat on Purim. Mevarech hamotzi. Okay. And finally, the chol davar shetchilasa sufganim, kigon hani sufganim shemetagdin or so besem shemen shekorin bunish, betur minachala. If you have something that's a batter, and you fry it in oil, I don't know what bunish is, then it's exempt from chala. Presumably, it's also never going to be bread, and never going to be havamotzi, and berachas hamazon. So that's the way Tosfos understands things. There are basically these three categories. Things that start out life as a dough, but wind up not being baked, and as Tosfos quotes it, Rabbeinu Tam said it's chayiv and challah. He used to think it was pater from hamotzi, then he changed his mind. I don't know why he would say by pasta. I don't know why pasta should be different, according to Tosfos. And then the things that start out life as a batter but eventually get baked, and those, again, the definition of baking is disputed. Is it have to be an oven, or is it sufficient to have a hot pan? And finally, and that is certainly, if it, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, that masa ilfas, if it's a pan, that it's still considered bread if it's baked that way, and you have to separate challah because of the end of the process, and you would make hamotzi on it. Again, he's not, right now not talking about sweet stuff. That introduces a different layer, but it's considered, if there's no sweet stuff, it's considered bread. And then the last step is something that starts out as a batter and is fried, is not bread at all, it's not chayiv and challah, and it's also never going to be hamotzi and the like. Now, Tosfos did say in between, but it's not clear what the explanation was, that pasta is chayiv and challah. Again, this is Rabbeinu Tam's position. Pasta is chayiv and challah, but you always remember, because it's boiled, it's not baked at all, you would never make hamotzi on it. You would always make bar mitzvos and al hamecheh. And just remember the last point, the Ramban disagrees completely with Rabbeinu Tam. He would say that something like pasta, which is made from the outset to not be baked, even though it starts out life as a dough, the Ramban would say it's exempt from challah. Okay, any questions? Yeah.